Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Basketball Show. We do this show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time. And as I always say, if you can't listen live, there is a way that you can always listen to the podcast forever. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com and punch in the search engine, Gregory Crawford on Basketball, and you will get every single show that we have ever done. So, and we've done a lot of them, and we have great guests on this show every Wednesday night. By the way, since this show is named Gregory Crawford on Basketball, I am Gregory Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. And you can also write to me at GregCrawfordBasketball at gmail.com. All one word, GregCrawfordBasketball at gmail.com. As it is the second Wednesday of the month, that means we always try and talk to Mako Hamilton, the outstanding men's basketball coach at George Fox University, located in beautiful Newburgh, Oregon. Great spot, great school, great basketball program. And here's the guy that heads up that men's basketball program, Mako Hamilton. Mako, how you doing? Welcome back. We're going to do this every month for quite a while now on the Wednesday, and I'm happy to have you on.
Hey, Greg, it's good to connect with you again, man. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. My pleasure. You're a great guest always. Great info, great insight to life and basketball. How's your summer been, Mako? And maybe I think our listeners might enjoy hearing from you. Maybe what's one or two things that you did this summer that, you know, will make you a better basketball coach or enhanced your experience as a basketball coach?
Oh, it was a great summer, obviously. You know, being with the family is always good. You know, hopefully recruiting will enhance my abilities as a basketball coach because, like they say, we're only as good as the players we have. So that obviously dominates a lot of the offseason. So hopefully we'll reap the benefits of that. And then, yeah, you know, I think, you know, obviously I like to use the time away from the season just to kind of reflect, look back, evaluate things that we've done. You know, it's always good to study and learn new trends and new concepts and things. So I look at the off season as a huge educational point as well to prepare for the upcoming year. So that definitely was a big part of it as well.
Great. Mako, before we get started with some more questions, I think it's always important to recognize the staff that helps you, and those coaches kind of go underappreciated, not by the head coach, but by the general public. But who's going to make up your staff this year?
Well, yeah, I just have one assistant on my staff at George Fox, a gentleman by the name of Jamal McKenzie, who has been with me at George Fox from day one and actually came with me from my time at Union High School as well. So he does a tremendous job, you know, and just the day-to-day stuff that's needed for our program to continue to trend forward and the way he relates with our young man and stuff. So he's a great, great asset, man. He's a great person, great friend, and it's great to be able to, you know, have him alongside with me on this journey.
You talked about this summer of recruiting outside of winning every game, which is the objective to do for any coach in any sport. Is recruiting in basketball the second most important thing?
I would think it's right there. I mean, I obviously say, you know, the probably the number one thing is just the way that, you know, at least for me, the way that I connect and mentor my players who I have and being invested into them. But I think recruiting is a close second because ultimately those are the guys who you get to allow the number one thing to come to fruition. So it is. It's very important. It drives, you know, what we do. You know, like I kind of said it in light, but it's very true. You know, we're only as good as the athletes that we get, and obviously we have an obligation to help them and to grow and to maximize their gifts, but they have to have something there to work with as well. And so so the recruiting aspect is very, very important.
Nico, you can officially start practice on 10/15, the 15th of October. But I wanted to ask you about, I think our listeners always get comments whenever you're on how much they enjoy your insight into things, and I do too. We all know, you and I know firsthand, and most people, unless they've been sleeping, know that academics are a major priority in the Northwest Conference with all the schools. What do you talk to your student athletes on your basketball team? Because I think the key to succeeding academically, in my mind, is time management. What do you talk about with time management?
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. It really just, it boils down to, you know, just kind of reminding them, you know, just in terms of the, I think that's a big part of the accountability piece, is just reminding them, being very consistent in that message. You know, we do things from study tables, we do weekly academic checks. You know, we obviously meet with our guys frequently to just see how they're progressing. So just kind of keeping that message consistent through various avenues, various channels. But at the end of the day, it's not perfect, because the reality of it is we're not with these guys 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So there are plenty of gaps where we're not present. And I think those are the times when you hope that they are disciplining themselves and, you know, and being wise with their time and what they're doing. And so that's really, that's the big challenge, and that's a big part of what you're hoping that they are ultimately following through with, is doing the right things.
As I mentioned, you can officially start practice this Saturday at some point, or at 12:01, I guess, on Saturday morning, a.m. But let me ask you about you jump right into the conference season for the most part. Now that first week of December, that's changed a little bit in the past few years, and it goes back and forth. But what do you want to accomplish, as I mentioned before, besides winning every game, Mako, out of your preseason opponents, your non-conference opponents? How do you like to view those games from an expert position, you being an expert basketball coach?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we treat every game on our schedule with the utmost importance, whether it's a conference game or non-conference game, because it's an opportunity to get better, and it's an opportunity to measure yourself and where you're at. And so for us, really, you know, the non-conference, obviously it's, you know, we get an opportunity to play schools that we're not familiar with, and vice versa, and I think it's really good. Gives us an opportunity to just experience new things. You know, at this point, you know, a lot of our guys and obviously our coaching staff were pretty familiar with the eight other schools in our conference. And so playing those nine non-conference games gives us something, hopefully, that we can see something a little different, from personnel to schemes, et cetera, to experiences, whether it be travel and so on and so forth. But ultimately, every game is an opportunity to get better, and the hope is that we're progressing forward, you know, in a positive direction, you know, every day. And obviously in the early part of the season, when we're still getting, you know, fine-tuning a lot of stuff and implementing things, you hope that, you know, you're seeing guys grasp what you're doing and putting that into practice on those game nights. And then as the season progresses on, now the hope is that the comfort level, the ability to execute, is on a consistently high level, and that takes you right up into conference, where obviously those games, you know, obviously have heightened importance because of, you know, what they mean to the postseason.
Mako, I think one of the many great things about Northwest Conference basketball, and we certainly hope, we got a big listening audience tonight, and just get out and see a game, and I'll guarantee you'll go back. It's really good basketball. But I always like to think of the Northwest Conference, it's kind of a, offensively, it's kind of a snapshot of all of basketball, because there's so many different styles. Nobody really runs the same style, and that kind of makes it unique, fun, and challenging.
Yeah, without question. I say that to people all the time who ask about our conference, our level of play, and again, that was, you nailed it spot on, Greg. I mean, you know, every team is unique in terms of what they do schematically. You know, I think it's at our level, the skill that individuals have in terms of just their ability to knock down shots, to make plays with the ball in their hand, the versatility, I think is, I would say it's greater than any level of the NC2As. And so it does make it very challenging to defend. It makes it challenging to prepare. But that's also the beauty of it too, is from a competitive standpoint, you're always on your toes. You're, you know, you always are feeling the pressure internally with self to just better yourself and to find ways to have your team, you know, as prepared as possible come game night. So that's a great part about our conference as well.
You know, absolutely. When that bell rings on Saturday to officially start practicing, how do you like to handle scrimmages? Is that a big thing for you? I know different coaches have different philosophies. What's your philosophy, scrimmaging, and how often do you like to do it? And what do you want players, obviously, to succeed in that, cut down their mistakes and things you like to see in those scrimmages?
Yeah, I mean, our biggest focus early in the season is really getting our guys comfortable with what we're doing schematically. We spend a lot of time doing a lot of breakdown drills. You know, we kind of go pieces to the whole. And so we'll get to a point where we're, you know, obviously doing some 5-on-5 stuff. But we'll, you know, you'll rarely walk into our practice and see us full-fledged scrimmaging. We may do some 5-on-5 stuff in different aspects of what we're doing, whether it be transition, whether it be half-court D, half-court O, transition offense, you know, whatever. But we spend a lot of time really breaking down the various parts of, and we feel that gives guys the best way to become comfortable with what we're doing. And then as we piece it to the whole, then those.
Did I lose you there?
Oh, am I still here? Sorry.
You were here, yes. Go ahead and finish. Okay. If you were,
yeah,
finished, fine. Go ahead and finish if you want to.
Oh,
okay,
yeah,
so we lost you a little bit.
Okay. But then, you know, again, it also a big part of it, too, depends on the group that you have. Short time spots we haven't had. I mean, we've had pretty much new guys every year. This year, continuity from with – so that opportunity to get to – earlier than we normally.
You're breaking up a little bit there, so if you could maybe adjust or swivel the seat around or stand up or whatever, I'll throw my next question out to you. Hopefully you won't be breaking up, and because we love to hear what you have to say. How about it's, you know, it's October 12th. You haven't had an official practice yet. You certainly know your roster. How are you looking right now on October 12th? Give us a little sense of how you feel about this 16-17 roster and what they can accomplish.
You know, I'm feeling very cautiously optimistic. You know, we brought back 12 of our 14 guys from last year, so we have a huge, you know, return on continuity. I like where our guys are at in terms of the physical growth that they've demonstrated from the off season. I think mentally I'm seeing a better focus. I'm seeing a group that's a little bit more confident in terms of how they're handling themselves. So that has me very optimistic about just the improvements that we will, you know, hopefully make here once we get going next week. So yeah, that's kind of the early snapshot now. That all will be tested with the longevity of our season, with the challenges that basketball creates, you know, mentally and physically, the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs. And so, you know, we're hoping to really have a group that shows more sustained consistency in those areas that I just mentioned on how they improved. And if that is the case, then we'll definitely take a step forward in our program's development.
one of my great friends in basketball, and you may know him, Mako, I've never actually asked you, is Coach Barnes down at Cal State Bakersfield. I was talking to him the other day, and I asked him, they went to the NCAA tournament last year, which was quite an accomplishment. I said, what was the keys to that? And he says, well, quite frankly, Greg, is we determined we were going to that NCAA tournament, and it was won in August, meaning that August a year ago, meaning, of course, that it was the work that players put in when the coaches aren't around. And that's so important to get your game in shape before you go to that official practice.
Oh, it's critical. I mean, the off season is the time when you really dial in on those things that are inconsistent in your game, and you put in the time, and you do that from a physical standpoint, you do it from a mental standpoint. We've been meeting with some of our players, and we tell them, like, hey, I mean, you know, this, you got to believe now. I mean, all the work that you've done the last 5 or 6 months is for this moment, and now you can't change that. You got to believe in what you did, and now you got to be confident with it. So there's no question. That doesn't mean guys can't get better and improve, you know, obviously throughout the season, but a big portion of that happens, you know, that time away. And that is, I think I've heard that say before, you know, championships are won in the off season. And I think that's very true, because that's where the preparation begins.
Mako, you're a successful coach, and your peers think the world of you as a human being and as a basketball coach. Do you do this or not? Do you like to kind of, in your own mind, break down that this is where we want to be? I'm just throwing this out hypothetically. This is where we want to be on December 20th. This is where we want to be on January 20th. This is where we want to be on March 1st. Do you do that? Or you just kind of wait and see what's kind of going to transpire and adjust?
Yeah, no, I'm very fluid with that. We like to just kind of see how we're progressing and where we're at. You know, obviously, like I mentioned before, we want to see improvements on a daily basis. But there's, you know, you learn a lot about your basketball team every day. And so we're very much, very fluid. And open meeting our room. We need to continue to better ourselves with. So I don't. I think season maybe.
We're losing you a little bit there. You're kind of cutting out. I apologize for that. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great, Greg. Yeah, we might be having some weather issues up here. I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah.
Can you
no
hear me
problem.
All right now?
Weather. Yeah, I can. Great. Thank you.
Okay. I'll try right
go ahead
here,
and
yeah.
talk a little bit more about that subject. We heard the first part of it. The second we didn't.
Okay. So basically, you know, for us, it's, you know, the early part of the season, we may be dialed a little bit in a little bit more on that, having specific goals of where we want to be. But ultimately, I mean, at the end of the day, we're going to kind of just see where our basketball team is progressing. You know, the things that we're picking up well and doing well versus the things that we're not, and then we kind of adjust from there. So it's a very fluid thing for me in the way that I look at it.
I've always thought in the Northwest Conference to have success there that you seldom see a lot of big people. And when you do, they're usually terrific. But the rest of the team may not be that big. Rebounding is so critical in the Northwest Conference, in my opinion. Do you work a lot on rebounding in your practices?
Yeah, we absolutely do. It's really critical, and especially for us. You know, we don't have a very, you know, big roster, so we have to be really dialed in and, you know, really fine tuned to the little things. And so we do. We spend. You know, we spend time drilling it, and we emphasize it in everything that we do, because you can absolutely rebound in every single drill. And it's something that we absolutely emphasize, and we hold our guys accountable to, you know, just to continue to instill that toughness and that and that attention to detail in that specific area is very, very important. Possessions are critical, and rebounding is one of those ways to get those extra possessions and limit them from your opponent. So,
you are an outstanding clinician, Mako, and I've heard you talk 2 to 3 times about your pressing style of your team, and you like to get after it defensively. Is the goal there when you do that to disrupt things half the time and get the ball half the time, or is it every time do you want to get a turnover when you put that pressure on?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's about making the opposition uncomfortable. Obviously, you know, turnovers are very premium, and we love to get them, but we also realize you're not going to turn a great team over all the time. So for us, it's just to implement, you know, really to exert our will. Our hope is that we'll get teams out of their comfort level. We'll force them to do things that they, you know, probably don't practice on a consistent basis. It's another thing that in just the preparation to play us that teams have to, you know, kind of go out of their way to prepare for. And so, yeah, it really just boils down to us being able to create a style and a way that the game is going to be played. And then our hope is that, you know, we'll be better at that style than our opponents. And if that happens, then we'll have some success.
I've talked to you this about before, but I think it's a question that I'd like to ask again because it's kind of fun and everything. Rivalries are tremendous in sports. We all know that. Have you been there long enough to think about, and you're going to probably be there a long time if you want because you're such a successful coach. Have you thought a little bit about the rivalry? Who is the biggest rival in the Northwest Conference? I guess maybe Linfield might say George Fox is their biggest rival in basketball because you're in the same county and very close to each other. But if you think much about that, I mean, it's obviously not at the top of the list, but it's always fun to talk about.
Yeah, no, rivalries are fun for people to talk about, obviously. You know, for us, we really don't. We don't really go there. I mean, obviously, I know Linfield is the closest school in proximity. We share the same county. But really for us, you know, we don't. We focus each game, you know, as they come. You know, there's no game that has more importance at the end of the day. A win is a win. A loss is a loss. You know, you don't get multiple victories for one win, or you don't lose multiple times for one loss. And so really for us, it's just about taking each game as they come. You know, one of the things that I've noticed is sometimes little natural rivalries may happen within a year. Maybe you play a team and you play them the first time and it's just a battle or it gets a little chippy. And so then the second time you play them, there's an excitement. Sometimes a rivalry can come about based on where teams are at in the standings. You know, maybe a recent history against an opponent, tight games. So, you know, I think those things kind of play into it. But for us, we really don't. We don't heighten any game or any opponent that we play. I think we're very real with our guys in terms of giving evaluations and a scout on those opponents, and then we go attack them to the best of our ability with no more enthusiasm than we would any other opponent. So that's how we look at it at George Fox.
Time flies by at my age, and I can't remember whether it's 2 years now or 3 years that football came back to George Fox. But I've always thought that, you know, having an overall athletic program and having a lot of sports, it helps every sport. Plus, you've got another coaching staff there that you can kind of bounce ideas off of, even if it's a different sport, and the support there. Talk a little bit about football coming back to George Fox and how maybe that's helped the basketball team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think having football, you know, on any college campus is a positive. It adds to the campus life. It adds to the excitement of sports. You know, I think football obviously it's America's sport right now, and it starts off the school year. You know, I was told a long time ago that you know, the success or lack thereof of your football team determines the type of year that's going to take place at an institution, you know. So if the football team does well, it just kind of builds the morale. And so we love having football there. It adds to the, you know, to our athletic teams, our department, the, you know, the camaraderie with our coaching staff and among our athletes is really cool. And then having football has been beneficial to us because of facility enhancements. It gives us an opportunity to have, you know, a brand new state-of-the-art weight room that our athletes can train in and get better at. And it just, you know, I think the cool thing too is there's kind of that inner competition, not in a negative way, but, you know, we have a great, great football staff led by Chris Casey, and to see those guys, how hard they work in recruiting, to see the time that they put in, to see the improvements that their program has made over these 3 years, it drives me, it motivates me, it excites me to try to stay on that level with those guys as well. So it's a great thing to have at our school, and I'm glad that I, you know, got on board at George Fox about the same time that football came back.
Very good. I love that answer. Very good. Mako, let me ask you about on your practices, do you let your players know the schedule in advance? I know that's kind of a thing that's all over the board with college basketball coaches. Or do you not want them to know, or how do you handle that?
In terms of just like what we're doing on a daily basis?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we not too far in advance. I mean, we'll meet, you know, we always have pre-practice meetings, you know, especially early in the year, because we're implementing so many things. And so we utilize that time to kind of do classroom stuff. And so at that point, we'll talk about what the day looks like, what our emphasis is for that particular day, you know, things that we'll be doing. And then, you know, once we kind of get going, especially when the calendar turns and we get into conference play, at that point, you know, we're kind of in a rhythm. And so I think guys kind of know the structure of our practices and what we're doing. And, you know, obviously the drills will vary from day to day, but guys have a sense of what we're doing. So I don't know if it's as important at that point, but definitely early in the year, we definitely like to share that with our guys. So they can prepare themselves. You know, I think it's really important for them to get in a right mental frame of mind and understanding, okay, today in practice, you know, here's what we're teaching new. Here's our focus. These are the things that we want to emphasize or see get done in these drills. And I think it gives them time to get into the right mood. And so they know when we hit the floor running and when we get to those different drills, they know what to expect and what we're expecting as coaches.
In conclusion, tonight, take us out, Mako, with I definitely will be there to see you in Newburgh, Oregon, and on the road. Why should other people join me in seeing your team, which I hope there will be many that come to your games? That's part of why I do these shows. I want to increase attendance, interest, and everything. Fire away.
Yeah, no, I think we play a pretty exciting brand of basketball. You know, I know our community really loves our style. It's a high possession game. We play fast. We attack on both ends of the floor, so you'll be entertained. You know, more importantly than that, we have, you know, young men who put in time, who are, you know, working very hard, you know, not only on the basketball court, but, you know, in the weight room and their film studies and et cetera, and they're balancing that out with the rigors and the demands of a high academic institution. So, you know, as much support as we can get to encourage these guys to show them their value, you know, we appreciate that. And I think it lends to the whole experience for them. So not only will, you know, fans and people in our community or whoever attends our games, will they be entertained, but they'll also be doing a service for us as well. And we really appreciate that.
Per usual, we'll talk to you the second Wednesday in November, and I'll see you before that, obviously, but always enjoy having you on, and we want to get a lot of people watching George Fox men's basketball this year. Thank you, Mako.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Have a good night.
You betcha. That's Mako Hamilton, the head men's basketball coach at George Fox University in beautiful Newburgh, Oregon, and they're a member of the Northwest Conference. The nickname is the Bruins, and the last but not least, it's Division III basketball. It's true student athletes, and it's a great brand of basketball. Mark it on your calendars to get out and see them. Good night, everyone. Don't forget to make free throws.